You're listening to episode 5 of the Control Risks podcast, recorded from the Cotton Centre in London. I'm Federico Saleri, and the topic today is cyber threats to supply chains. I'm joined here by one of our cyber threat intelligence experts, Felix Manig, who contributed to one of our latest monthly reports on the Core Plus Cyber Module. We reported that threat actors are increasingly gaining access to organizations' computers and network servers through supply chain attacks. Can you tell us what exactly you mean when we speak about supply chain attacks in cybersecurity?
Absolutely. So most organizations today rely on a range of suppliers to deliver products, systems, and services. And as such, third-party vendors, the tools, and also the applications they provide, they're often granted access to internal networks and data. While this interconnectedness helps simplify business operations, it also exposes organizations to a wide array of threats. And so when we speak about supply chain attacks or also third-party attacks, this is when a threat actor infiltrates your system through an outside partner or a provider that has legitimate access to your network and to your data. So basically, supply chain attacks abuse the trust that organizations place in their third-party providers and in their products, which makes them really damaging. And of course, supply chains can be exploited through different methods, including through hardware, software, or other third-party products and services that companies rely on to support the core functions of their business.
And do you have any examples of attacks that were caused by the suppliers?
So the most high-profile supply chain attacks that we have seen, they appear to have been instigated by APT groups, or what we call advanced persistent threat actors. These are usually linked to intelligence agencies and military units of nation states. And the intent behind these type of attacks is generally to collect intelligence about foreign adversaries or to steal sensitive commercial information from companies, which can then be used to support domestic corporations in critical industries and sectors. Just to give you an example, the espionage group APT-10, which we've also been tracking on our core platform, has targeted providers of managed IT services, or MSPs, to exfiltrate data from their clients' networks. Just for those unfamiliar with the term, MSPs manage a customer's IT infrastructure, and they usually retain access to their client systems, and sometimes they even store client data on their own system. And this APT-10 group targeted MSPs and also IT hardware and software companies globally since at least mid-2016 in a long-running operation, which is called CloudHopper, to gain access to the clients of these companies for political and commercial espionage.
You know, I remember reading about the CloudHopper campaign not too long ago, as well as the attack against the hardware manufacturer Asus earlier this year. These were very sophisticated and targeted supply chain attacks by nation-state threat actors. Have we witnessed cyber criminals do something similar?
Yes, so we have seen organized criminal groups employ these supply chain tactics, but to caveat this, they haven't done this yet with the persistence and the technical sophistication as some of these nation-state actors. But of course, the threat landscape is changing rapidly because criminals have a lot more resources and tools at their disposal today than ever before. And as such, these criminal threat actors have really discovered that they can affect a large number of targets and make a lot of money by targeting organization supply chains, particularly MSPs and other types of outsourced IT services. And we expect more criminal groups in the future, both on the sophisticated side and those more on the opportunistic spectrum, to focus on company supply chains to really achieve their goals. And I believe this is a threat to organizations across sectors.
Felix, can you tell us a bit more about their TTPs, their tactics, techniques, and procedures that are employed by these threat actors? How do they usually operate in cases like this?
As a rule of thumb, attackers just try to find the easiest way in. So most of the cases that we see involve threat actors targeting employees at these organizations through phishing or spear phishing emails that contain malicious attachments. So that is usually the initial attack vector. And once someone, the recipient, clicks on the link or opens the malicious attachment, malware is downloaded onto the device, which can steal further account credentials. The threat actors can gain access to other parts of the corporate network And that can allow them to access the shared client network and then steal proprietary company data or intellectual property, or also encrypt files and hold them for a ransom.
Why are these type of attacks on the rise?
This depends on the kind of target that we're looking at. So today we see a lot of the very big companies, such as in the financial and in the tech sectors, they're investing heavily in their IT security. They're hardening their cyber defenses, and as such, they become a lot more difficult to compromise if you want to attack them directly. So if I'm an attacker, from my perspective, I want to find the easiest way in, and often this will be through a smaller, less secure supplier that has a trusted connection into the network of the final victim. And also in addition to that, particularly outsourced IT services are becoming very attractive supply chain targets because of the sheer access to potential victims that they provide threat actors with. For example, on our core platform, we're currently tracking the activities of the organized cybercriminal group behind the Sodino Kibi ransomware. And this group has in the past months particularly targeted MSPs to push out ransomware to the provider's clients. And they're encrypting files and sensitive data and then demanding a ransom to get those files back. The group just in early September made a lot of headlines for encrypting data and patient records at about 400 US dental clinics after the group had compromised the MSPs that provide software services to these clinics. And in general, these groups just know that they can cause a lot of costly disruption at many different companies just by targeting one or two IT suppliers. And as a last point, when we look at small and medium-sized enterprises, they often have outsourced their IT services, and suppliers have often a lot more access and insight into the network than the client themselves. So in that sense, you want to attack the provider that controls the infrastructure, which ultimately impacts a lot of these smaller SMEs. And that's something our, for example, our cyber response team sees a lot with SMEs. And we also often work with the affected supplier during the crisis management period.
So different motivations to target supply chains, but this is certainly a threat to both larger and smaller companies, wouldn't you say?
Yes, absolutely. And I think the takeaway here is that supply chain attacks are becoming more widespread and are also growing in frequency and sophistication as organizations bring more and more third parties on board that have access to sensitive parts of their network and data.
Right, so companies nowadays have hundreds, if not thousands, of suppliers. If we work on the mantra that it's not a matter of if a company is going to be attacked, but when, it could feel quite daunting if you have to secure and vet your entire supply chain.
Yeah, you are right. It is daunting, but I think the good news is that companies are paying a lot more attention to supply chain cyber threats at this point. That is something we see in recent industry reports, but also in the discussions we have with clients around our reporting on supply chain attacks on the core platform and also other bespoke work we do for them. And, you know, to be honest, in a lot of cases, it's either impossible or not feasible to vet suppliers, whether, you know, it's your software, hardware or IT provider, to an extent to be 100% sure that they pose no threat to you. But companies have established risk management practices, and these are in place, and they have strict quality standards that suppliers must meet. And the important thing is that the same mindset should really be adopted when selecting suppliers in terms of their IT security.
What are we recommending our clients to do in terms of mitigating the threat?
In the end, companies should really adopt what we call risk-based calculation. So you have to ask yourself, how critical is a certain supplier or a certain provider for your business continuity? How much access do they have into my system? So that's really the assessment that should inform how you approach that threat. This is something you can do before you onboard a new supplier or consider an acquisition. For example, our cyber risk advisory team helps clients do this regularly, but this should also be done with existing third parties. And of course, this should not be a once-off decision, but really a process that should be continually revisited and managed as your requirements change and your relationship with the supplier progresses. So in practical terms, what that means is speak to your supplier about their existing cybersecurity arrangements and create, regularly review, update, and also enforce these security policies that you've identified. these requirements and service level agreements should really be built into contracts with third parties that you engage with. For example, you can require your providers to patch vulnerabilities on a defined periodic basis and also add penalties if they fail to do so. And you can also require your providers to conduct regular training for their employees, like phishing tests, because as I've said, those are usually the initial attack entry vectors. And one more important point, which shouldn't be missed, is that you should really ensure that responsibility for legislative and data compliance requirements are also made clear between your organization and your third-party provider. That's really critical because when we talk about supply chains, it's important to understand that you and your organization, you're also part of a supply chain and you can pass risk down, for example, to your customers. So legislative and data compliance requirements are important, particularly as we expect regulators globally to increasingly require companies to do more about third-party risk.
That was Felix Manik from the Cyber Threat Intelligence team here in London. And as per usual, reach out to your account manager for a conversation about these threats to your company or organization, or contact us at core@controlrisks.com for a trial of the Core Plus Cyber module. I'm Federico Saleri, and thank you all very much for listening to this podcast from Control Risks.